Mama Grouse. There are more than a few people who have lived in the countryside since they were knee-high to a grasshopper, and some of whom like to consider themselves to be good hunters too. But not one person appears to be aware that Mama Grouse can only count up to three. No, sir, not a single one. Ordinarily, this is not a problem for Mama Grouse, even though she can have as many as 8 to 10 chicks in her batch, which may also be referred to as a coddle popper's dozy dozen. Yes, sir, dozies are even harder to spot than coddle poppers, and you already know how hard coddle poppers are to see. Mama Grouse spends her day fussing and feeding and feeding and fussing her batch of little chicks all day long. Yes, sir, from the very first glistenings on a dewdrop in the morning to the very last lightings of a firefly's lighty bits at night. Wherever they might be, Mama Grouse is fussing. Now you also have to remember that Mama Grouse is a fidget bum too, and can't sit still for 2 minutes without feeling the urge to do something. It does not have to be anything particular, just a something. Or it could be an anything, and sometimes it's both. Yes, sir, she certainly keeps as busy as the bees in honeymaking season, and you know how busy that is. Almost as busy as children pretend to be when someone asks them to do their chores. And you know how busy you can look when it's time to do your chores. Yes, sir, you most certainly do. When Mama Grouse is not straightening the fine new feathered plumage of her chicks, she's scavenging for food or teaching them how to find food for themselves. And when she's done all that, she'll do it all again one more time, just for good measure, just to be sure. Yes, sir. And then she does it all once again in case she forgot something the first two times around. The day usually ends with her taking all the chicks for a nice long walk. The little chicks feel like it's more of an army route march because they only have tiny little legs that stop at their knees, and trying to keep up with Mama Grouse, even with the wind behind them helping them along, is quite a task in itself. Yes, sir, quite a task indeed. The problem for Mama Grouse. The problem for Mama Grouse only being able to count to three arises when she has to cross a ditch full of water with her brood of chicks. You see, she's got nice long legs and can wade through easily, and so off she continues with her journey, going deeper and deeper into the woods at her usual speed and expecting everyone to keep up. Yes, sir, she's as quick as a frog's tongue when it spies a fly on a toadstool. Mind you, why toads have stools and frogs don't has always puzzled me somewhat, and for some while. It's only when she becomes aware that she can't hear her little chicks chirping and complaining that she realizes that something is wrong. So she'll stop and she'll wait until her little chicks start catching up. 1, 2, 3, that's all of them, she thinks to herself, and then continues on her merry way again, leaving most of her tiny chicks stranded on the wrong side of the ditch. Yes, sir, the poor little chicks who are left behind end up crying and getting all upset because Mama Grouse has left them behind again. They're too afraid that they might drown in the ditch if they try to cross it alone. Oh, my dear soul, it is a sad sight to see. It's enough to make the daisies droop and the willows weep. Yes, sir, a sad sight indeed. Mama Grouse does not hear the other chicks calling her to please come back for them, as she's in far too much of a hurry and is busy telling the closest chicks behind her of all the chores they still have to complete before bedtime is here again. She chitters and chatters and clucks and chirps, making a terrible racket. All the other small woodland creatures hurry out of her way, as they know she's in far too much of a hurry to see where she's going. Yes, sir, far too much of a hurry indeed. A small dragonfly did try to tell her about her missing chicks on one occasion, many moons ago. But as Mama Grouse was chittering so much, she almost accidentally swallowed the poor dragonfly whole. Yes, sir, she nearly did. Luckily for the dragonfly, it was a Wednesday afternoon and not a Friday morning. which meant that Mama Grouse had already eaten an extra helping of fungal crunch bark clippings smothered with melted toad boogers. Otherwise, she may have swallowed the tasty little dragonfly, thinking it was snack time. The dragonfly skedaddled away quicker than chocolate cake disappears the day before you start your new diet. Yes, sir. And you know how quick that goes. The Coddle Poppers say that Mama Grouse is the closest thing to a human that they've ever come across. Yes, sir. And you can certainly see why, can't you? The Coddle Popper Solution. But just as it starts getting dark in the twilight hours, when everyone is trying to go to sleep, the Coddle Poppers are drawn to the cries of those tiny abandoned chicks. They gather them all up and help them safely across the ditch, then lead the little chicks safely back to their mother. Yes, sir, the Coddle Poppers don't rest until every single last chick is safe and accounted for, back with Mama Grouse. The relief on their tiny little faces when they're reunited with their mother once again is enough to make the moon grin a cheesy smile. And the chitter chatter of all the little chicks trying to tell Mama Grouse all at the same time of their little adventure is something you would need to hear to believe. Yes, sir, it is quite a racket indeed. When all the excitement is over, the Coddle Poppers place the little lost chicks back under the wing of Mama Grouse, where they all safely snuggle in for the night, and the air is once again filled with a tranquil silence at Fairywood. Yes, sir, the chicks are safe once again, all thanks to the Coddle Poppers. Well, safe until tomorrow's march, and the whole rigmarole begins all over again. Most of the baby chicks soon become accustomed to waiting to be collected at night by the Coddle Poppers, so they often pack a few extra crumbs and a snack of toad boogers when they leave home, just in case Mama Grouse leaves them behind again. Yes, sir, they sure are clever, well-prepared little chicks, aren't they? The Fairy Stone. There are not many fairy stones throughout the world. They're few and far between, much like great-granddad Goodwin Gummy Gumball's grinning gappy teeth. It's considered quite a privilege to have the honour of taking care of a fairy stone. It's only the highest of the Coddle Popper kingdoms that are worthy of such a precious stone. Yes, sir, as precious as having first dibs on the fairy dust when you are an apprentice fairy in training. At once upon a time, you can find the one and only fairy stone on the entire American continent at the base of a fir tree beside the scruffiest, most sparsest looking little apple tree in all the woods. Before you ask why such a special and magnificent stone should be in such a bleak location, the Coddle Poppers realize that it doesn't matter what anything, or anybody for that matter, looks like, because what other people's opinions are shouldn't really matter. No, sir, they really shouldn't. It's what you feel about yourself inside that's the most important thing, because what you feel on the inside is what shows up on the outside. Yes, sir, a fact of the most factual proportions. How bizarre? You see, this day was a particularly bizarre day at once upon a time. Not the normal day-to-day bizarre that there usually is, but a quite peculiar bizarre. Yes, sir, as peculiar as why humans can fall down, but often slip up, and either way end up in a pickle. Of all the discombobulated combobulations, how do they manage to do that? Well, on this particular day, some fairy dust had accidentally been blown onto a gangly little apple tree when it was not much more than a young apple pip. Yes, sir, he was little more than a seedling in an apple's eye, so to speak. Are you afraid to be different? The little apple tree at that time was very conscientious about being different. Of all the other apple trees in the woods, the little apple tree was the smallest, weakest, ugliest, loneliest, and saddest looking little thing there ever was, in his own opinion. And every day the poor little apple tree would tell any Coddle Popper that would listen how much it longed to feel special. Yes, sir, a very sad tale indeed. The Coddle Poppers are very well aware that you are what you think you are, it is what goes on in your own mind that creates what goes on and happens in our own world. You only have to visit the Caudle Popper Tree of Wishes to work that one out. Yes, sir. A very magical place for sure. Every day the Caudle Poppers would take turns to talk to the little apple tree and teach it about the power that occurs when you only think good thoughts and that you're grateful for the good things that you already have. The little apple tree even learned how remarkable it was that even the bad times have some good lessons in them too. Yes, sir, it's like feeling really, really sad because you see your sister licking the spoon when it's your favourite chocolate cake mix and not hers. But then you suddenly remember that it's your turn to lick the entire bowl. Yay! How to dream big. Last of all, the Caudle Poppers probably taught the little apple tree how to dream about what it was that it wanted to be, and to pretend to be that tree as though it already was, and to believe that it would be so. The little apple tree had his dream, and in that dream he was special. Not just any kind of special either. He was the mostest special there ever was. Yes, sir, that's some kind of special, that is. As special as a birthday cake on your unbirthday day. Especially on a Thursday afternoon and takes the place of those pesky Brussels sprouts on your plate. How special is that? It no longer mattered that the little apple tree was different from all the other apple trees, because in the little apple tree's mind, being different is what made it stand out from the rest of all the other apple trees. Yes, sir, a very unique special was what he was, a very unique special indeed. The little apple tree was not swayed by having to fit in with what the other apple trees did. It did not have to say what the other apple trees said just to be part of their little orchard gang. No, sir. Instead, the little apple tree stayed true to itself. And all the other apple trees admired what the little apple tree still had and that they had lost. And that was integrity. Integrity is a very big word, which means that the little apple tree was genuine to itself. Yes, sir, it is a very wonderful gift indeed to be genuine to yourself. What is integrity? Integrity is a very honourable quality, and one that the Caudle Popper holds most dear, because it doesn't matter how self-important you might think you are, without integrity, you can't be trusted. And what is life without trust? If you can't trust anyone, well, what a pickle barrel that turns out to be. Yes, sir, maybe even two pickle barrels, and what a kerfuffulation that in turn turns into. As soon as the Caudle Poppers found out that they were to be blessed with the prestigious honour to look after a fairy stone, they knew exactly where to put it. And it was right where the little apple tree had dreamed that it would be. Yes, sir, the little apple tree was so happy it was even happier than a pig in a duvet instead of just a blanket. Though why humans want to wrap pigs in blankets is a mystery to us Caudle Poppers. The fairy stone is no ordinary rock. No, sir. No ordinary rock by anyone's standards. And you know how high anyone's standards are. Set on the top surface of the fairy stone is a white crystal quartz of marvelous, magnificent, magical qualities. How to make a magical wish. To make a wish, you must place your thumb from either hand, but the cleanest one usually works best, onto the marvelous, magnificent, magical white quartz. And gently twist your thumb in a clockwise smiley face manner for three whole smiles. Yes, sir, Cheshire Cat smiles are the way to go, and not the cheesy grin types. No, sir, they really don't work very well at all for some reason. All the time, you're to picture your wish as though it's already come true, and you feel the butterflies in your tummy with the excitement as though you already have it. Going to have just doesn't quite cut it. It must be an already have thought. Already have means that you've taken ownership. It's yours because you've earned it, and therefore you deserve it. Yes, sir, already have always works best. Just like the little apple tree thought, And you know how well that worked out. It will work anti-clockwise too, but the whole process just takes so much longer, because the poor fairies have to reverse polarise the polarised polarity of their fairy dust, and then do everything backwards, which means it can be extremely easy to make a mistake. You just try saying the alphabet backwards while you're upside down and hopping on two legs. That's how hard it is. It's not that fairies often make mistakes, no sir. But if you're in a hurry to get your wish to come true, if there's going to be a quicker way to do it, that's the way I'd go. The quickest way possible, that's for sure. Yes sir, the quickest way from A to B without getting sidetracked by something shiny is the best way for sure. Why do some wishes take longer? Some people have even done upside down smiles with a thumb inside out on the marvellous, magnificent, magical white crystal quartz. And that really does cause a pickle. The poor fairies have to go upside down to bring the wish the right way up. All the fairy dust falls out their pockets, goes down their necks, and in all manner of cracks and crevices, and they get into such an itchy mess. Yes, sir, as itchy as the dog gets when the fleas stop for a quick bite on the way to the market. Wishes take even longer to come true because the first thing the fairies will do afterwards is to clean themselves up. Every last little speck of fairy dust has to be removed, recollected, recounted, and you know how long that must take. Yes, sir. When, and only when, the fairies have removed, recollected, and recounted all the fairy dust from places that you really don't want to have any fairy dust, or even the places you might think you'd want to have some fairy dust, come to think of it. Not that I do think of putting fairy dust anywhere very often. No, sir. Well, not that I wish to talk about anyway. Then, and only then, will the fairies even begin to think about getting back to your wish once more, especially if the fairies feel that they need to take a shower because rain might not be in the weather forecast for several more weeks to come. And unfortunately, for any of us wanting wishes, being a clean fairy is far more important to them than what any little boy or girl's special wish might be. A fairy must be spring clean even in the summer. How to tell if you are special? It has also been rumoured by those in the know that after you've made a wish and given it to the fairies, if they see that your heart is pure, your intention is honourable, and that you are truly grateful, your wish will be granted. And to prove that your wish is on its way, you'll see the fairy dust sparkle on the top surface of the fairy stone. If you can see the sides of the fairy stone sparkle too, that means you truly are a very special person. Yes, sir, a very special person indeed. Another top caudal popper tip is please don't get impatient if you do not see your wish come true right away. Because the fairies work in fairy time and not human time. Much like the caudal poppers, fairies never ever wear a watch ever. They know that things just happen when they happen. And there's no such thing as feeling the pressure of time in a fairy's world. It's only the humans that have become slave to the clock with their very busy lives. Yes, sir. Silly, silly humans. Whatever will they think of next? Sometimes, humans are too busy to see all the wonderful things going on around them, because they don't take the time to look around, and they even believe that they don't have enough time. Yes, sir, how strange is that? It's as strange as using fairy dust without a fairy dust PhD, which is proficiency in homeopathic dusting. Why would you even take that risk? There's as much time as the air that we breathe. You can't see it, touch it, or taste it, but it's there all right, all the time. We don't worry that there's not enough air, do we? It's just the way that we think it is, instead of thinking of it as the way that we want it to be. Yes, sir, it's all to do with how you look at things, and the best way to look at it is in the best possible way. Isn't that a fact? Therefore, is it really that important how long the fairy takes to make your wish come true? Because any coddle popper will soon tell you that it is far better to know that your wish has been granted and have all the excitement and anticipation just like at Christmas time. You know that there's something very special on its way to you with just your name on it. Yes, sir, even though you know what you're gonna get, it's still always a lovely surprise when you finally get it. So choose wisely, boys and girls, and be careful what you wish for. Legal disclaimer. Coddle poppers and fairies are not medical doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, psychotherapists, naturalists, pessimists, legal or financial strategists, or even anything else that could possibly end with ist. If you need help in any of those areas, please seek the help of a certified pertinent professional. I might be certifiable, but I'm neither pertinent nor professional. Even though coddle poppers and fairies give their services for free and with love, all of our wishes are actually released to the higher power for the greater good. Sometimes, when wishes come back not quite as we expected, it may take us quite some time to realise the enormity of the wonderful gift that's just been bestowed upon us. Yes, sir! Coddle poppers and fairies cannot be held responsible for anything that happens in your life, including anything bad or good, with or without chocolate on, as a result of you making your wish. The point of this story is that life is what you make of it. Well, what a wild and wacky ride that was into the wonderful world of fairy wood. We now know about the magical powers of the fairy stone. How to dream big, make wishes, that it is okay to be a little bit different, and that it's our uniqueness that makes us special. Mama Grouse also warmed our hearts. So, is it really a problem if you don't realise that you have a problem in the first place? In our next storybook, titled Thomas Tipsy Tibbleman, a most lovable tale about being good at what you enjoy doing. Because when you're good at what you enjoy and enjoy what you're good at, then what's not to enjoy about being good at the things that you're good at? Yes, sir! Especially when you're that good and enjoy them. We learn the consequences of taking the pee, that money isn't everything. We discover a cure for hangovers and learn the intricacies of plopper valves and the delicacy of fungal crunch bark clippings. Until next time, be good, keep smiling, and together we'll change the world, one act of kindness at a time. If you'd like to see the fairy stone and where the tale of Mama Grouse really happened, then please visit our website at fairywood.com.